down from his glory. Ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name, born in a manger to his own a stranger, a man of sorrows, griefs, and agony. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him, my breath, my high sunshine, my only, only know the great Creator. He became my Savior, and and all God's fullness dwell in me. What condensation, bringing us redemption, that in the dead of night, not one faint hope inside. God gracious, he was gracious and so tenderly aside. He laid aside his splendor, stooping to woo, to win, to save my soul. Oh, how I, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah. How I adore you, Lord. You my breath and my sunshine, my all in all in all, the great Creator. He became my, oh what wondrous mercy, oh God, and oh God's fullness dwelleth in me. Without faith, he was not reluctant at all, he laid aside his substance, he took the form of man, he revealed the hidden plan. Oh glorious mystery, sacrifice on Calvary, and now I know the one, the great I am. Oh, how I, we love you, Lord. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine, my hope, my all in all in all in all, the great Creator. He became my Savior, and all God's fullness dwelleth in me.
Amen. If that song can be your testimony, you're in a good condition. If you can say today, oh, how I love him. He's my breath, he's my sunshine. To some people, television is their breath and their sunshine. To some, it's sport. That's where they get their joy. But to the believer, only Jesus satisfies. Only he can satisfy my soul. Just want to greet our visitor today, Jennifer, the friend of Brother Kwame. She's here. God bless you. We do greet you. Amen. Amen. It's nice to have you with us. Please feel at home in the house of God. Let's be seated just for 1 minute, saints. Just got a letter here from Brother Ron Borthwick concerning the Philippines. So I just wanted to update the saints on that. He says, thank you very much for the money which we sent. We managed to send 700 euros, so we really do appreciate everybody who really dug deep. And we sent it across, and he said they're going to be sending that money towards the end of the month, which was yesterday, to Brother Vernon, Brother Danny, and Brother Nesta. You know, to people who know the Philippines, they're real good brothers, though. So these are three pastors who are going to assess how to best apply and distribute the funds. These are three pastors we've had contact with over the years, and they are reliable, honest, genuine brothers. We'll let you know, and he'll give us further details down the way. And they also sent us some photos. He says, please thank the church in Dublin for this kind donation. Now, if anybody's been following that story in the Philippines, it's a real long-term project. You know, it's really wonderful that you managed to help one. So I said to Brother Virgus, maybe from next week, we'll put a box at the back of the church for the Philippines. So if anybody feels in their heart that you want to help, there's many families there. If you watch on YouTube, there's some very good videos the brothers have put of believers whose homes have been completely destroyed. And people are having just to, you know, their homes were, like back in Africa, their homes weren't strong in the beginning. And when that storm came in, it just totally destroyed things. Even those saints that survived in the church, the whole roof of the church was pulled off while they were in prayer. So it was a fierce, fierce thing. And very poor people, yet they are brothers and sisters. So for the next couple of months, we'll put a box at the back of the church for the Philippines. And we really just encourage the saints, if the Lord lays it upon your heart, put some sort of contribution inside. And as soon as it builds up to a reasonable amount, we'll keep sending it across to the brothers so they can keep ministering to the saints that are there. Because like I said, it's not just a one-off thing. It's a long-term project to try to get the believers back in their homes, try to get the believers getting a livelihood. Some people had all of their livelihood taken away. You know, so they're relying just on charity. They're relying on the government there. And the government's not rich in the Philippines. It's not going to help the people very much. So we will do that, and we'll just keep announcing it every once in a while. And I do believe the Lord will bless, because the Bible says, remember them that are in bonds as being in bonds with them. So let's remember our brothers and our sisters there. Wanted to welcome this morning Brother Jan, who's with us from Serbia. Yeah. Brother Jan got up last night and said, Serbia is not Siberia. So we went to Brother George's house afterwards, and Brother George said, let me show you a picture of some brothers from Serbia. And he showed Brother Victor from Siberia. So it's quite an easy thing to get confused. Siberia is right to the east of Russia by Japan, that side there. Serbia is one of the republics that was formed from the breakup of Yugoslavia. If the saints remember Yugoslavia under Tito, in those days of Zimbabwe when we were communist in those days, Mr. Mugabe was good friends with General Tito. But that broke up. There was a big civil war, and it broke up into quite a number of states, Serbia being one of them. Then there's Montenegro, there's, what are the other ones, brother? There's Macedonia, Bosnia, and there's a big issue about Kosovo. I'm sure people have seen on the news, Kosovo, United Nations getting involved in Kosovo, and there's all these things that have been taking place in that region there. Now, that's where Brother Jan is from. He's from Serbia. The capital of Serbia is Belgrade. And the church that the brother is pastor of is about 50 kilometers from Belgrade. He's in the northern part of Serbia, where it's mainly Protestant. In the southern section, it's mainly Orthodox. So it's not such an easy field to be sowing the seed in that kind of a condition. So we're really glad to be with Brother Jan. We've had a good time with him. On Wednesday night, we had a house meeting at Brother Vlad's. I think the saints who were there will agree it was a real nice time. On Thursday, the saints went. I wasn't there. I was at work. Went to Brother Tony's house, and they say it was a real fine time. Friday night, we had Brother George's. It was good. Brother Jan gave a real good word there. And then last night, I know many people went here last night, but last night was a real fine time in the Lord. I so appreciated the word last night. So we're under an expectation today for the ministration of the word. So we're really glad to have our brother. We've known him for a few years. He's a real fine man of God. And we just want to give him his liberty today to preach whatever the Lord's put upon his heart. And just finally, if you pray for us, as we said, next weekend, I'm going with Brother Virgus to Vilnius to take services, two on Saturday, one on Sunday, and then there's a communion service as well. So we'd really appreciate your prayers as we go to Lithuania on Friday, coming back on Monday. So please, keep us before the Lord, so the Lord may allow us to be a blessing. I like that song that they sing in Happy Valley, just to be a blessing. I'm sure that's what you desire to be. In your life, to be a blessing. No matter where you go, just to be a blessing. Put yourself in the hands of the Lord and be a blessing. So really pray that the Lord will help us to be a blessing to the saints, just as much as we're under expectation for our brother today, that the Lord will use him to be a blessing for us. Let's stand. Let's just sing a chorus. We invite Brother Jan to the pulpit to take his liberty, and may God bless the service.
You have chosen
the narrow path, the hardest way.
Of heaven is waiting for you because of what you decided. Oh, that was a prophecy. Was a prophecy the angel told to the great messenger. That is what will produce the great victory in the love divine. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me. Oh, I will walk this path. I will walk this path in the footsteps of Elohim. I wanna get to the end of time. That divine love will live in me.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Josh, you know the song, I Have Found a Friend in Jesus, He's the Lily of the Valley. You know this thing? Can you sing it? I'd like to sing this song with you.
Lily of the Valley. I found a friend in Jesus.
He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Hallelujah.
The Lily of the Valley. In Him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make my fully whole. In sorrow is my comfort, in troubles is my stay. He tells me every care on Him to roll. Hallelujah, He's the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Oh, He has all my griefs forsaken
and all my sorrows bore. In temptation is my strength and mighty tower.
Hallelujah.
I have all for Him forsaken and all my idols gone. From my hell that now He keeps me by His power.
Hallelujah.
And all the world forsake me and Satan tempts me so. To the Jesus I shall safely reach my goal.
I will reach my goal.
He's a lily of the valley, that bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
He will
never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me. While I live by faith and do His blessed will.
Oh, hallelujah.
A wall of fire about me. I've nothing now to fear. With His manner here, my hungry soul shall feel.
Oh, then
sweeping up to glory, I see His blessed face, and rivers of delight shall ever roll.
Hallelujah, is a
lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to sing things you can really experience. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother George. Thank you, musicians and everyone. So nice to be with you again. I want to greet you again in the name of our Lord Jesus. So happy to be with you and... Really, I want to say again thank you and appreciate your hospitality. And all the nice moments we had, all the food we had, Brother George's place, Brother Andrew's place, the sisters were preparing so good food, you know, and I need to take care. If I would stay longer here, I would have trouble with my blood pressure. You know, in Serbia, when we feed the animals too much with good food, they have a high blood pressure, and then we need to cut the ears, you know, to release the blood. So if I would stay here, you would cut my ears. But of course, we are circumcised at heart also, you know. So many good things happening here, I see. And I really enjoy to be with you. As I said yesterday, I wanted to have a look on all these believers here because you are precious to God. And I can see you enjoy to worship, you enjoy to pray, and you worship again, you pray again, you read the scripture again. And that's something I believe the Lord appreciates so much, that He's blessed you. And I would like to take this anointing also to my congregation. And so, of course, we have experience with the Lord in our way. And, you know, different culture is sometimes influencing how the people are responding. Sometimes people, they are much more quiet, but they are receiving a lot, you know. It depends, you know. Sometimes you have an impression, but it's not always like that. People may be not reacting too much, but they're understanding and receiving all these things. And after the service, you can see, oh, they heard very well, but you thought they maybe not, you know. So sometimes we are I'm sorry to keeping you standing, but I'm just speaking from my heart now. I was thinking about one little girl when she was going with her daddy to buy an ice cream, you know. She was small, but she liked ice cream. I don't know if children like ice cream here, but in our country a lot. So she was going to the shop to buy ice cream, and she said, "Daddy, I want a big ice cream." And she explained how big it should be. And he said, Daddy said, "Oh, I think you are too small. You cannot eat so much." And she said, "No, Daddy, I'm small outside, but inside I'm much bigger." So sometimes you're looking at people and you think, they don't receive anything, but inside things are happening, you know. So I believe you understand. Yeah, different, but with the same experience. As one brother said, when you have people from all part of the world, and even in the world, when they're sitting around the table and they're drinking good wine, if they are black, white, yellow, red, whatever, they behave the same after a few bottles, you know. So I believe we behave the same in the spirit, you know. We enjoying the world. Amen. So Brother Andrew introduced me, and I don't want to take too much of the time, but Serbia is now a much smaller country than it was in Yugoslavia, as we were one country with all these republics. But as a country is going through birth pains, also spiritually, you know, the message came through many birth pains to our country. We are young message believers and with no message tradition, actually, but God is helping us, you know. We have a small congregation there, about 20, 30 people maybe. And sometimes people are coming, some of them are going and so forth. But we can see the Lord is keeping us, you know, close to His presence and revealing more and more to us and of His grace. And just to send again the greetings from the saints, and thank you for your prayers and everything you're doing, remembering my wife and my family. I have four children, and my wife needs really support, you know, when I'm not at home. So thank you for your prayers, and may God bless you for this. Yeah, so maybe it's good to turn to the scripture and see how the Lord will lead us. If you have your Bibles, you can open the scripture in 1 Kings, and I think I have it on slides, but just maybe the portion. It's too long, so you will find 1 Kings 17 chapter. 17 chapter from 8 until 24th verse. I wanted to take a subject of be certain of the blood. You heard about Brother Abraham speaking be certain of God, you know, so be certain about some things. So I want that we will be certain about the blood and what God has intended for the blood to be used, you know, how to use it and actually what's the purpose of the blood. And to be certain and to understand what was in God's mind. So God is revealed in simplicity, and I will take simple things. I put some quotes because of my broken English to be sure for you that you will understand what I wanted to say. You will read some of the quotes and scriptures. So we will try to follow a line, and I hope God will unfold his thoughts to you like I received it, or even better, you know, so that you can understand what actually I get out of some of the messages, and actually the line God was revealing me by reading the Bible and reading and listening to the message. So I wanted to read this portion. It's a bit maybe long, but I believe you can take it, yeah, standing and reading from the 8th verse. From the 8th verse we are reading. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarepta, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarepta. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering through sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. Amen. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no bread left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Amen. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, See, thy son liveth. And the woman said to Elijah, Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much again for the opportunity to be together here. Gather it around thy word, around the good things you have prepared for us. And we pray that the anointing will come and help us, Lord, that we receive the portion you have for this day or even for tomorrow. If we don't understand many things, maybe it will help us tomorrow when we walk with you outside in the world, in our jobs and everything we are doing. Please help us to remember about the good things you have said to us. We pray for everything you have prepared for us, and may all this you have prepared will cover the needs of the people in body and in spirit and in their soul. I pray that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. So, actually, you know, it is strange how God is leading me through my in my life, because I'm from Serbia, but my parents are from Slovakia, and they came 200 years ago down to Yugoslavia, to Serbia at that time, and then actually my ancestors, yeah, and my parents, they moved for a short time to Germany, so I was born in Germany, you know. So I'm a Slovakian, born in Germany, having a Serbian passport. So that's really strange, you know. And then you're thinking about things, you know, that at the end we are all Christians, you know. But God has a reason why He's doing things.
Amen.
And sometimes we cannot understand the things, but many, many great things begin in simple thoughts, you know. And I was thinking about the seals, Brother Abraham was preaching, and how he started it with a simple message. God is revealed in simplicity.
Right.
It's hidden and revealed in simplicity.
Amen.
So that was my intention, just to take a simple thought, you know, and to present it. I know you, I believe you understand this already. And maybe you can even, some of you can explain it even maybe better in your own language. But anyhow, we like to fellowship around the good things, you know. It's like a good meal. If you like chicken wings or chicken legs, and you have eaten it once, you will eat it again because it's good, you know. So you will not say, oh, I've eaten it before, I don't need it. We like good things, yeah. So this subject was on my heart because I believe it's a good thing to be certain about the blood and to understand what is hidden there, because it's a simple thought. We could take many just types out of this portion I have read, but I wanted to just base my thoughts on experience this woman, this widow woman in Zarepta had about her own sins and things she has in her mind, and she was she needed to be straightened out about some things, and God has sent Elijah, the prophet, and his anointing to help her to understand about her own life, you know. And I believe God has a message for us here, because the anointing of Elijah is so close connected to the end time and to the bride in the end time. So if you read the Bible, and you can find many, many places where actually you can see that the anointing of Elijah is so familiar to us and to our life experience we have with God. And because of that, we should really watch carefully when you read in the Bible about all these stories of Elijah and Elisha and what was happening there. Then you can understand, oh, God has had something in His mind for me also. Because we are hidden there, you know. We are hidden in all these experiences. And I would like to talk about this, and we can see here something which is very, very important for us. So I will just be that what I am. I'm not such a powerful speaker, you know. And my voice, as I said, is not like an archangel, and you will not be maybe falling in love because of my voice, but I would like to present the thoughts of God, you know, by this, how I received it. So let's just go inside of the world and just start our thoughts, and I believe God will lead us further there. So we understand, like Brother Brian said, that we are saved by grace, but the blood cleanses us, you know, and keeps us from sin. So we need the grace of God to be saved, but the blood was there to cleanse us from our sins, and it helps us to restore fellowship again, you know. And we want to see how far the blood is going, you know, because the blood is like a tool God has given, you know. You need the blood every day. You need to apply the blood in your life every day. And we need to know how to use the blood. we need to learn what's the intention, what was in God's mind when he was thinking about the blood, you know. So, like when somebody is inventing a tool, you know, and he has something in his mind, how to use it, what to do with this tool. So, if you don't know how to use it, you don't know how to exploit it fully, you know. Right. You just use it for something, but you can use it much more. Like you brothers, I hear that you are much advanced in computer technology. So if you have a software and you don't know how to use it, then you know you're really underprivileged. Because if you would like use maybe Photoshop or CorelDRAW or some other programs just to paint a circle or something like that, somebody would laugh at you because there's much more power inside of this software than just to draw a circle or just some, you know, some simple thing. So sometimes people, they're using blood just for surface problems, you know, they have in their life. And sometimes people, they're trying to use the blood for things it's not supposed to use, you know. So I don't know if you know these tools like mechanics using... repairing the cars, we call it the French key, you know. I don't know if it's spoken like that in your language. It's a very useful key, almost everybody has in his car or is using it for reparation. And then you have screwdrivers and other things, you know. But you can use them for such a job which is not actually taught in beginning to use. For example, in Serbia, you know, you have many keys. You know, you are trying to fix to make some reparation, even on the car, on the house, or some thing you do at home. And then we in Serbia we call something the Serbian key, you know. And that's a tool you never heard about, you know. But the Serbians, they like to use it. And the Serbian key would be actually the hammer, you know. Because when you don't know how to open up something, then you use the hammer, you know, and you just open it up, you know. And maybe you just need some simple key or some tool, but they don't know what to do, so they use the hammer. And the hammer will open everything, you know. So they call it the Serbian key, you know. So sometimes people using the Bible like that, you know. They want to use the blood just to open up everything they want in their life, you know. But it doesn't open because there is a specific key needed to use, you know. So the blood is the same, you know. And we need God's thoughts about the blood because it is His blood, you know. So if it's His blood, then there need to be His thoughts about His own blood, you know. Not our thoughts about His blood, but His thoughts about His blood. And God will help us to understand these things, you know. So how far can the blood go? And what can the blood do for us? And to have a right understanding about these things. So I think I have on the next slide a picture where actually the widow from Sarepta was coming. And you see it's actually not Israeli territory. You see, it's up at the Lebanon and beside is Syria. So you can see when we actually are reading these scriptures, we can understand when Jesus was talking. When Jesus was talking in the synagogue, he was making his sermon, and he told the story that he said, it's true that many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah's. But when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And you see the city of Sarepta, it's outside of Israel. And then he said, many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elijah, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And you have Syrian outside also on the right side of outside of Israel, you know. And as Jesus was speaking like that, we can read that in the synagogue when they hear these things, they were filled with wrath. They rose up and they thrust him out of the city, and they led him the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. You understand? They were full with wrath. They were angry because he was speaking such words. He was putting a blessing about people which were not Israeli people, you know. And they were pagans. So they could not understand if it should be a right prophet, if it should be a Messiah. And he's giving such honor to people which are not Israel's. They could not understand, you know. So it's a fulfillment of the scripture, like it is written that Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy. By them that are no people, and by a foolish nation, I will anger you. Amen. So it's a fulfillment of the prophecy. And so it was purposely, and if it's mentioned in the Old Testament, and Jesus was mentioning these times, surely there is something hidden for us. Because nothing happened by chance, you know. Amen. There is a purpose, there is a meaning. God has something in His heart to express. And the Bible says that we have the thoughts of God, the mind of God. So sometimes we need to pray about things, to step aside, to hear His voice about His own thoughts. So, as I said, there is a meaning, and we want to see what was happening, what kind of experience this woman, this widow woman had in Sarepta, and what she needed to experience, and what God wants to speak to us. Because you can see at the end, so I will skip all this. Brother Bram already explained about the meal offering and all these things, you know, so there are many types. I am coming to a portion of the scripture which actually catched my heart, and it's in the 17, 18th verse. I think I have it on the slide, the next slide. So So it came to pass after these things, so on these things actually, a long time he was living there with a woman and her son, and he actually had fellowship with the woman. The woman is a church, yeah? So she had many, many experiences with the prophet. And not many things written what was happening, but I'm sure he had the anointing to preach, to explain, to speak about God, you know, and because she had faith, you know, she received him by faith. We can see it was a spiritual woman, it was not a carnal woman, because God had said that I have commanded a widow woman to feed you. So she didn't even know, but she received the inspiration from God to do things. So only a spiritual man can do it, you know, just to be under the inspiration to do some things and to receive the voice of God in a specific way to do things which are totally opposite to the carnal mind. Mm. And she had many, many experiences with Elijah, for sure, which are not even written in the Bible. But after these things, you know, after these things, we don't know how much it was, how much time went. It happened that her child died. And it came to pass that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And now she came to Elijah and said, what have I to do with thee, thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? You know, if you have such experience with the prophet after a couple of years, you know, fulfilling the prophecy, having the anointing, you know, understanding some mysteries and many things, you have an opinion that you experience God enough. You're not on the beginning, you know. You move from the foundation further, higher, you know. But it happened that something was wrong in her heart, because she was always condemned. And when this happened, she thought, that's just God's answer to my sins, you know? Can you understand? She was speaking about, you came to me to call my sin to remembrance. So that's something interesting. I was thinking about that, because when you live in the presence of God, and the anointing God has sent in this age, God will reveal the secret things of your heart. So that was a thing she never spoke about with Elijah, about her sins. She thought this question is settled, you know. And she never opened herself up to speak with Elijah. And because God wanted to help her to be perfect, He needed to do something to reveal the secret of her heart, because she was keeping in her heart this condemnation about her own life, about her own experience with God. She had an experience with God. She was anointed to do some things. She was speaking with the prophet. She was listening to his voice. But that was not enough. She felt some condemnation in the heart. So God needed to straighten her out about these feelings, you know. And sometimes we had some feelings, and even with these feelings, you can have experience with God, you can listen to the voice of the prophet, you can be anointed to do things, you can have many, many prophecies and many things happening in your life, but still having a condemnation in your own life, which is not right. So the prophet was anointed to reveal this secret in her heart. And that's something which I really would like to carry on in this sermon. So God wanted to do something with her. And when he finished his job, you can see the next slide. That's the end of the scripture we were reading. Last two verses, it is written that Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know. Now by this I know that thou art a man of God." You see, and the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. You see, she was already speaking before, "Thou man of God, why hast thou come?" But it was just a speaking. It was not a revelation like it should be. It was a speaking out of the mouth. But at the end, God has done something for her that she said, "Now by this I know that thou man of God." So now something happened here, you know. And that's something the church needs to experience to be certain about the blood. Apply it in your life. Because you speak many times, "Yes, of course, this is the prophet. God has saved me from my sins. God has baptized me. God has done this and this and this." But if it's only a speaking, you will see God will bring it out. He will bring you into some situations, into some temptations, into some pressure, where there is revealed what's really in your heart. And then you will say, "Oh, that's my sin. Something's happening to me because I have sinned, or this or that is not right." You know, and God will provoke this out of your heart to speak it out, to show the colors, you know. So she said, "Now by this I know." So that's actually the true revelation. God has done something to her. She actually came to a place where her faith was renewed by the anointing God has sent into her life. And as you can see, it happened at the end. It happened at the end. So if you will endure until the end, you will have this experience. And because we can see that many started the race, you know, but they come not to the end. And you can see that many believers, maybe after 10, 20, 30 years even, in the message, now they're realizing something's wrong. And they're going away, even from the message, even against the message, even against the anointing God has sent. They don't recognize it anymore, but they once maybe confessed to be truth.
That's right.
So I would like for you to be sure, to be certain about your experience with God. To be certain about the blood. To be certain what God has in His mind for your life, you know. Really to be certain. I had a series of sermons in my country about all these stories of Elijah. And you can see the same experience Naaman the Syrian had. And I will just quote it with one quote in the next slide. You know the story about Naaman the Syrian. And he really had faith, you know, and many things happened to him. But at the end, when everything finished, Naaman the Syrian in this quote in the Bible, he said, he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. See, he should have known that before. And he had faith. He came by faith. He has done things by faith. But only at the end he knew. So something happened to him. So that's something the bride is experiencing, that actually a deep revelation about the blood is coming for Christians, for the Gentile age, just at the end. That thing what people thought about the blood was not a full revelation. It was just understanding behind the veil, you know. They could not see behind the veil, so they thought they understand about the blood, but only the Elijah anointing brought the true revelation about the blood. Amen. Only the Elijah anointing, you know. So God needed this anointing, and God needed somebody where he could manifest himself. Amen. So I believe that we are part of this picture. And you need to recognize yourself. Amen. You need to endure until the end.
Amen.
So let's see right further on what's going on. So as I mentioned, this woman, she experienced many supernatural things with Elijah. But there was some experience missing, and it looks like it's very, very simple, you know. So because of that, I said in the beginning, it looks like it's simple, but there is something which is very important to see, you know, in this simplicity. Because when we speak about the blood, you know, people, they think, even the denominations, they understand, you know, the blood of Jesus. They're singing about the blood, but you know, when we look at the full revelation about the blood, then you will understand. So I will use the quotes of Brother Branham in the seals and some other places, and we'll just briefly go through, so we'll understand actually what I had in my mind when I was thinking about this subject. So in the next slide, the first seal, you see, he said, notice this type, the reason they die out, they go through the purging of trial of the tribulation because they are not actually under the blood.
Amen.
They claim they are, but they are not.
Amen.
So many people, they are claiming they are under the blood, but they are not.
Amen.
So what happened to them? Do they know about the blood? Yeah, they do. But they don't apply it, yeah? Or some understanding is wrong. They think they are, they claim, they sing about the blood, but the prophet revealed they are actually going through the tribulation, the purging of trial of the tribulation, because they are not actually under the blood.
Amen.
So because of that, I gave this subject the title, Be Certain About the Blood.
Amen.
Be certain. Many people, they try to go into deep things, but at the end, they realize that they really have not this experience.
Amen.
With the blood like God has in his mind.
Amen.
For us to have, you know. And I mentioned, I think, when we were together at the house meeting about John Wesley, when he tried to convert the whole world, you know, had no success. He thought he will make a good job for God, for the kingdom of God, but no success. And then he was so disappointed that actually he came to a position where he was asking about himself. And in his own prayer he said, oh Lord, I went out to convert the world, but who will convert me? So something was wrong with his experience, you know.
That's right.
And sometimes people, they want to go into deep things. And they have deep understandings about many types and shadows. But what is with the blood, you know? Because this widow woman is a type of the bride.
Amen.
And it's not by chance that she missed something and God needed to correct her in her experience. You understand? So the denominations there, they will fail. But here is the explanation, as I have read. The next slide, also Brother Abraham explains, why are they not under the blood? Even they claim under the blood that they are. It's not enough to say, I am under the blood, I believe the blood, you know. He said that that's the reason that you don't see things happening in the churches. They confess that they believe the blood, but they reject the very plan to get to the blood, the word. So you need to receive, and you need to follow the plan, the very plan to get to the blood, the word. Amen? So there's only one way God will honor that word. So, and then he says, further on, he said, the only way you can do it is under the mercies of God through His grace is to come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Say, Lord, I claim the promise. Amen. See, and then we were speaking yesterday about the promise. Amen. So there need to be a promise you need to recognize. Amen. If there is a promise word for this age, if you refuse it, you can sing about the blood, but Amen. Nothing happened. So God had a scripture. God had Malachi 4. God had Luke 17:30. God had Revelation 10:7. But if people are refusing the word, that's the very plan. Singing about the blood does not help them. So you need to receive the plan to come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I claim the promise. See? And these are the scriptures, the promise. And then if you really are under the blood, God is obligated to the word. So the Elijah anointing, he came to show us the very plan, how to come under the blood, Amen. How to apply the blood, how to be certain about the blood, and then use all these potentials of the blood. There is power in the blood, like we sing, you know. There are potentials in the blood, and we need to understand all these potentials. So and the Elijah anointing, as he was straightening out the widow woman with his act of reviving her son, so the Elijah anointing with the word of the hour is reviving the Son of God in us. And that will be a true witness that we can apply the blood. So let's look further on. It says that the next slide. So God's plan is revealed. For example, when you think about forgiveness of sin, I think this widow woman had this experience. She was thinking like in the dark ages or in the seven church ages, people were thinking about forgiveness, you know. You have done something and then God forgives you. But God's mind is different. Amen. And the prophet says that we can forgive but not forget. Amen. I could forgive you, but I always remember you've done these evil things. They are not just, you are forgiven. But in the sight of God, the bride is justified. She never done it in the first place. Amen. Standing there married to the virtuous Son of God, never sinned in the first place. So that's different, you know. That's not just forgiveness. Justification is not just forgiveness. You have never done it in the first place. And I'm sure you know about it. Brother Brian explained it many times. But, you know, when we live our everyday life, it seems like we are missing this, you know. We always catching on the remembrance of things we have done. And even this widow woman, she was so condemned that when something wrong happened, the first thing she was thinking, that's my sins coming. God is just paying me for my sins. And when you come to this feeling, you are the same way like the widow woman. And you need to have the same experience. You need to see the plan of God. You need to be certain about the blood, you know. So the message is sent for this purpose. And Brother Brian said, next slide, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ, he said, it's the dripping bloody word. Amen. So it's not just singing about the blood, it's the bloody word. Amen. You are pointed to the word. If you want to be certain about the blood, it's connected with the word. He said, the blood, the word of God, bleeding word, to wash the bride in. Amen, he said. She stands perfect, virgin, unadulterated. She never sinned in the first place. Amen. Amen. She was trapped into it. Amen. So that's the truth about our life. We are trapped into it. So if we can see it, and if we can catch the revelation about these things, we can be certain about the blood. We can be certain about our experience. What happened in our life? Sometimes things are going wrong, you know, and you have no explanation. And the most reasonable thing is to think, I have sinned, and because of that, I'm experiencing a hard time. But the bride needs to be above, you know. Amen. You need to be above this. Amen. That's our thoughts, you know. And it's very close to think about these things, but, you know, if you can go away from your own thinking, you need to go, you know. So Brother Brian said, when people saw, for example, Apostle Paul, you know, he was doing great things, mighty miracles, mighty things. He was saying to one man that he will be blind. He was blind for several days. He was healing people, you know. They were coming to him, and many things, many great things happened. But then suddenly, there was just one man, like Alexander, the coppersmith, you know, and he just ran Paul out of the city, you know, and he was alone. He had nobody around him. Everybody was going away, even Titus or some others, you know, and he had no coat to cover himself. And when they saw all this, they were thinking, "Oh, God has left him. There is no power anymore in his life. He's finished. Once he could raise the dead. Once he could cast out devils. Once he could do things. And now he's just running away from some man, you know." But Paul, he never lost confidence in his experience with God. Amen. He never lost confidence. Amen. He was always sure what he have met. Amen. That's really a true experience. Amen. And you need to be certain about that, you know. Amen. Whatever happens, you need to be certain about your experience with God. Amen. So that's the truth. She stands perfect, virgin, unadulterated. She never sinned in the first place. And now you can see that's something which is, it's a fight in your mind, in your own thoughts, because you know that God requires to be perfect. Amen. He requires perfection. And we can just have a look in the scripture, the next slide. Where it's written, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father was, which is in heaven, perfect." So that's the scripture, and we are thinking about perfection, and Brother Branham was preaching in many places, for example, the law of having a shadow. And next slide, he said that God requires perfection. No one could ever come to heaven outside of being perfect. Amen. You must be perfect. Amen. So it's a must. And yet the scripture says none is perfect. Amen. So you must be perfect if you want to come to heaven. Amen. And how are we going to enter God's living place and dwelling place when he requires perfection? And we should think about the perfection that God requires of the person, a perfection. And we have our own thoughts about perfection. But as I said, if we can just go away from our thoughts and enter into God's thinking, then we will understand. And that was the trouble this widow woman had. She was always trying with her own thoughts to understand what God is doing. And you cannot do for a certain space of time, but if you want to come to the capstone, to the end, you need to lose your own thoughts. Amen. You cannot think about yourself, your own thoughts. Amen. You need to think God's thoughts about Amen. Yourself. Amen. You need to apply these thoughts in your life. Amen. And it's a fight, you know, because everything is testifying against, only God's voice is testifying for you, you know. You can see your own life, you can see your own mistakes, you can see your failures, you can see how many times you just you made everything wrong. But God is speaking different about you. Amen. So once sister, we were speaking with one brother, the brother was really anointed to tell her about this. She said to him, "Brother, I have so many mistakes, and every day I'm falling down, I don't know what to do." And he says, "Sister, you just at that time, you just say, 'Thank you, Lord, that I'm perfect. Thank you, Lord, that I have victory.'" Amen. When you're falling down, when you're making mistakes, you say, "Thank you, Lord, I have victory. I am the overcomer." And everything is opposite. And the sister was opening her eyes wide open, her mouth. "But brother, that's a lie." He said, "No, that's the truth. Amen. The thing that you are thinking about yourself, that's a lie." So that's a fight, you know. You need to apply it. It needs to be a revelation, you know. You can use it because I said it to you, but if it's not a revelation, it will fade out, you know. just after a certain time, you will forget about it, and you will think again the same thoughts about you. And that's dangerous, you know.
Amen.
So, God requires perfection. So, let's see what actually God thinks about being perfect. And I was hunting this word, and even if you just find it in the concordances about perfection, you will see that, I think this is the next slide, that the explanation is perfection means maturity.
Amen.
Maturity, fulfillment, accomplishment,
Amen.
And the event which verifies the promise.
Amen.
So perfection doesn't mean that you have a certain look on things and everything is, for example, white and there is no dark dot in this. So it means maturity, to be mature. And you have some portions of scriptures where it's actually used. For example, that I think you have not this on slide, but it's. I will find some of them just a moment. He said in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 14th verse, that the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So perfect means the same level, you know. So if you see in Luke, the 8th chapter, the 14th verse, it's written that the seed which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So it means they're not going to be mature, you know, because they are among thorns. So they cannot be matured.
Amen.
So to come to maturity, if it's 30, 60, or 100 fold, I don't care, but just to be mature, to reproduce a seed.
Amen.
It doesn't matter how much, but to bring seed. Maturity, that's perfection.
Amen.
And it is written in... let's see what cannot make us perfect. The law cannot make us perfect. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did by the which we draw nigh unto God. So you cannot be perfected by just the law or the scripture. There is something more. The Levitical priesthood is not enough to be perfected. Because the law is just like a mirror. You can see your mistakes, but you cannot wash yourself with a mirror, you know. You can only hit you on the head with the mirror, but you cannot wash your sins away. So you can see your mistakes, and when somebody is showing you your mistakes, even by the scripture, that's good. But if it's just because he wants to show you the mistakes, it will not help you. You need to come to the blood, you know. So you need to come to a place where you can wash your sins away. And to come to this place, you need to have some instructions, to receive instructions. And the Bible says that God gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints.
Amen.
You understand? So to be under perfection, you need to be under ministry.
Amen.
You cannot be perfected by your own.
Amen.
You need to be under ministry. And when you see people going away from a ministry God has given them, you understand it's the
Amen.
Trick of the devil.
Amen.
He wants them sent away and never come to perfection, you know.
Amen.
And they have their own thoughts about perfection, but they don't want to be under ministry.
Amen.
Then you can see they are just trapped into something and they will be disappointed at the end.
Amen.
So, I will skip some things here because I want to come to a point which is very important to understand about the blood. When is coming the perfection? We have a prophecy. It's like a promise I mentioned yesterday. You need to find the promise and you need to understand the fulfillment of the promise. And you cannot use your own thoughts about it. So we are reading in the scripture of 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, from the 9th verse. I think that's the next slide. It is written, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away.
Amen.
So that's a prophecy. And then it's written further on, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I talked as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Amen.
For now we see through a glass, darkly, but then face to face.
Amen.
Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known.
Amen.
So that's a prophecy, and we are reading this, and we are thinking about, oh yeah, the perfection. It is promised that the perfection will come, and when you read your Bible, you think, yeah, it will come. But there are God's thoughts about this perfection.
Amen.
There are God's thoughts about this promise. So God has sent it, the Elijah anointing,
Amen.
To show the widow woman what is to be perfected. And when is the perfection coming? So, in 1 Corinthians, as we have read in the next slide, Brother Branham was explaining in questions and answers, he said, he's quoting the same scripture I was reading, and he said, so all these little things of jumping up and down like a kid trying to talk in tongues and all these other things, when that which is perfect. And he said, and we do have today, by God's help, the perfect interpretation of the word with divine vindication.
Amen.
So now he applied this promise to his day.
Amen.
So that day is this day.
Amen.
You understand?
Amen.
That's not something in the future.
Amen.
That's this day.
Amen.
When you read in the Bible, when that which is perfect will come, and you get God's thought about it, then you can say, that day is this day
Amen.
We are living in.
Amen.
Because we have today the perfect interpretation. And he said, then that which is in part is done, away with. So it's finished, you know. We are finished with these things. And if you try to apply a promise in future time, and it's already fulfilled, you're waiting in vain.
Amen.
You're waiting in vain.
Amen.
So the perfection has already come. But do people understand and do they really see it? No. Like Brother Branham said, many people, they are just waiting for a revival and they are blowing the trumpet. A revival, we need a revival. We need fast and pray, fast and pray, fast and pray. And he says, they don't see the awakening of the bride.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
So it's really a pity thing when you see people there, they just use the scripture trying to open some door, like with a hammer, with a Serbian key, and you need just a simple key. And unlock the door and enter in and take all these things which are hidden in the world. So because of that, the Elijah anointing came to help us to see. So Brother Abraham explained how easy it is. And he said in the sermon, The Perfection, I'm sure you know about all these things, but I want just enter these things. I want just to talk about it because I feel so good, you know, about it. You know, I need to say a thing I experienced when I was studying, when I was making my study. I am a mechanical engineer, so I was making my study, and it happened. The mentor which were helping me to make my final exam, he said to me, you know, we professors in the university, it's a funny thing, you know. We should know everything the best, and we are explaining to the students about things. I took it, I applied it spiritually, you know. He talked about these things like, I'm a professor, I'm teaching students, and it looks like I know about everything. Everybody has a question, I know all the answers, you know. So I'm the professor. So it happened once, a professor, he shared what happened to him. He was holding a big audience, and he was giving his lessons. And I don't know what it was, but he was explaining to the students about things. He write one board, put it up. Next one, put it up, and then he said, is everything clear? Do you understand all these things? And one student, he said, I'm sorry, I don't understand. Can you explain again? Of course, he just cleaned it, write it down again, explained. And he was speaking after that to one professor. You know, I write it down again. And I wrote it, everything explained it. I asked the student, do you understand? And you know, the student, he said, I don't understand. Can you explain it again? Amen. The professor, he said, you know, I wished it up and I write it down again. Second board. And you know, I asked him, do you understand? And you know, I started to understand. But this student, he said, no. I think somebody catched it. So sometimes we are speaking about things many times, but then you realize, now I understand. So if I would not preach about things, I would have the impression that I understand many things. But when I stand behind the pulpit and God is opening things up, then I start to understand. So you don't know, brothers and sisters, how much we need to be in the service. How much we have need to come and to be together. How much we need each other. You think you need a preacher, but the preacher needs the congregation to pull from him. Because, you know, sometimes you prepare your notes and you have everything open, and then you think, yeah, that's it. But when they start pulling out of you, then you see, now I understand what's going on. Amen. So we just cannot be one without, you know. Yes. It's so necessary to be together, to worship God, and to welcome the Holy Spirit to be among us. Amen. So because of that, I'm going just through these things, because I want for you and for me to be certain about the blood, you know. Right. To be certain about the blood. So Brother Abraham says, we can take the next slide. He said, what it is, how to come into perfection, that God requires perfection. He said, he requires your repentance. He requires your loyalty to him. But he's looking tonight, no matter how much you have sinned, how little or how much you are still a sinner and cannot get in no other way but by Jesus Christ, God's all-sufficient sacrifice. And in him you are perfected forever. Think of it. It's not nothing you do. It's not new pages you turn. It's not a new life you start. It's a confession of your wrong and God's grace to you. That brings you to perfection. And then you are perfected in Jesus Christ. So you just be sincere and tell everything, you know. Speak about your wrongs to God. Whatever it is. Because he's our advocate, you know. Amen. He's standing for us. Amen. So you are speaking about things God needs to know. Even, you know, if he's our advocate, he wants to stand for our wrongs. Amen. So even the worst criminals, you know, if they take an advocate, they need to say about everything they have done. Amen. And the advocate, he needs to know. And he wants to defend the criminal, you know. But he needs to know about everything. And he's not using it against, but he's using it to help him, to protect him. But if the criminal wants to hide something at the court, the advocate does not know about all things. He will be confused. And he cannot defend the criminal, you know. So if Satan is accusing us, God needs to know about everything we have done. From our lips, from our hearts, you need to say it to him, and he can defend you, you know. So if you try to hide something from God, you are going against yourself, you know. You need to confess about everything you experience, you know. And God will use it just to help you, not to be against you, you know. So that's a principle. And Brother Brian was speaking about it. So it's a confession of your wrong. You need to be under the blood. Of course, you receive the plan. You take the word. And under this word, you're confessing your wrongs. You know? Confessing of wrongs, not being under the word of the hour, will not help no one. Amen. Understand? It's just leading to tribulation. There is no promise to go into the rapture without the word. You know? Amen. The prophet said, like Israel, God was not dealing with Israel outside of the homeland. Amen. They could do anything they wanted, but you know, he was not dealing with them. And he said, thus say the Lord, God is not dealing with the Gentiles, with us, outside of our homeland, and that's the message of the hour.
Amen.
It's so simple. So when you come to this plan, to this world, to our homeland, to the message of the hour, you confess everything.
Amen.
And God is bringing you into perfection.
Amen.
Can we take the next slide? So, then he's continuing in the message of perfection. He said, are you ready? Are you ready for the word?
Amen.
He said, listen to this. And I want you to let it sink down closely. For by one offering, he said, not year by year, not revival after revival, not meeting after meeting, not day after day, but by one offering he has perfected. By one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified.
Amen.
Finished. So, it's finished if you take it just in that simplicity.
Amen.
How it is written. You know, one offering has finished everything. You're perfect in God's sight. Our mind, he cannot understand, you know. He cannot understand. But it's just, it comes to my mind, so I will use it as a type. I had once one brother, you know. Sometimes we're picking up some good things from others, so I will use it. One brother, he was explaining about how God is defending us and he's helping us, you know, by our confessions. And as I said about the advocate, you know, one brother, he said, it's like you're confessing your wrongs to an advocate and you're saying about everything. Everything, you know. You don't hide anything. You want to be sure that all details are clear to the advocate and that he knows about every simple thing you have done. Every single thing you have done. Everything which could be held against you. You're just confessing to him, Lord, I'm sorry. Maybe this feeling I had, I'm sorry because of that. For this brother, for this sister, or something like that. And you want to be free, you know?
Amen.
So you're speaking with God like that. He's an advocate.
Amen.
And this brother, he made a little drama about it. He said, like a man, he's confessing about everything. And then he's called to the court. And he's expecting, what will the judge do? You know? And he's sure that he told the advocate about everything. And he comes to the court and he sees the accuser, you know, and he's waiting for his advocate. But the advocate was late, you know, he was not coming. He was not coming. And the man was a bit nervous, thinking about why is my advocate late? He knows all the details, he has all the documents, and who will defend me? And he was nervous, what will happen? And then they announced, the judge is coming. Everybody was standing up, you know, and greeting the judge in reverence, you know. And the judge was coming with his white hairs and everything. And he's coming behind the pulpit or whatever. And he said for the people to sit down. And he was looking at the people. And they were looking at him. And the guy, he was so nervous because he was waiting for the advocate. And the advocate was not coming. And he was looking at the judge, but suddenly something happened. As he was looking at the judge, he said, something strange is happening. This face looks so familiar. He could not understand. He was waiting, what's going on? And the judge was opening the case. He was reading about all things, the accusations and everything. And then as he was reading about, speaking about everything,
Amen.
The man recognized this judge. That's actually my advocate. So what will happen?
Amen.
You can imagine what will happen.
Amen.
He will be free. Because if the advocate is the judge,
Amen.
He will defend you.
Hallelujah.
So that was something, you know. So if you are sure that you told everything,
Amen.
The same who is your advocate will be your judge.
Hallelujah.
And what will happen? You will be free.
Amen.
So simple it is. If you take the right advocate, if you take the message of the hour to stand for you, you know. So you remember these people when they were in heaven, and Brother Branham was speaking with the angel, and the voice, the angel said that he needs to be judged. And he asked, will Apostle Paul also be judged? He said, yes. He said, oh, then I have confidence. Amen. Because I preach the same gospel. Amen. And of many voices were saying, we stand upon this. Amen. We rest upon this. Amen. So they had rest, you know. They knew how to come into the court. Amen. Because they had rest, you know. Amen. There will be no judging for the bride. It's finished, you know.
That's right.
So now we are going to this judgment.
Amen.
And because of that, it's such an easy thing. If you have the right kind of advocate, if you have the right kind of voice to defend you, to say about everything of your life, and this voice is only in the message hidden.
Amen.
You cannot find the voice anywhere. Amen. It's just so far away from the churches. The voice is outside knocking and nobody wants to let him in.
Amen.
Only the bride.
Amen.
So we are privileged people, you know.
Amen.
So be certain about the blood, okay?
Amen.
Understand how to apply the blood and how to deal with the blood. So, I don't know if we can, yeah, we have read this already. So the next slide, let's see what's there. Yeah, what's happening? We are underprivileged people with our own doctrines, you know. If we take our own doctrines, we have been taught that we have to get up to a certain place, we have to do a certain thing. No, my brother, it's nothing you have done. It's what
Amen.
God did for you.
Amen.
We are now, if we are justified by faith, we are perfected forever in the presence of God.
Amen.
And it's finished. So simple, you know. And you take this thought, the perfection, you're now perfected in God's sight.
Amen.
I would like to go further on. I think somebody was asking Brother Branham about this when he was preaching the the seals, he was anointed to speak about that, and he said, how can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? I don't know if I skipped, just let me see. Yeah, I think... He said, how can God judge a man that's perfectly, totally sinless? And somebody said to him, you say, there is no such a person. Totally perfect, without sin, sinless. Somebody said to him, there is no such a person. And he answered, the Elijah anointing, you know.
Amen.
He said, every born again believer, true believer, is perfectly, absolutely sinless before
Amen.
God. That's the truth.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
So it's so simple, you know. But you use your own thoughts, you use your own sight. And Brother Branham said, I think the next slide in the Hebrews chapter, he was saying, now we got that this morning, how that we are perfected, perfect, absolutely spotless and blameless, not one sin in us. And then he asked, are you above temptation? Never.
Amen.
Do you sin every day? Yes, sir. What a paradox. Do you sin every day? Yes, sir. But yet we are perfected because we are in Him.
Amen.
Amen.
So who can understand these things? You know, you need to receive it by faith.
Amen.
That what is God thinking about you. That's it. You are perfect. Even you are not above temptation. Even you sin every day. So that's a God we are serving. That's His thoughts about us. And because of that, this widow woman, you know, she was confessing, yeah, you are a man of God, you are a man of God, but she could not believe it.
Amen.
She had trouble, you know. And God could not leave it like that. He needed to do something for her.
Amen.
And God is so merciful to us, you know.
Amen.
We confess many, many things during our life. But then if it's something really not clear, God will bring it back, you know.
Amen.
He will not leave you just like that. He will straighten you out. He will show you what really He wants for you to believe.
Amen.
So, let's see what I have here. Yeah, the next slide says, What about in God's sight? We are thinking about us and that we are sin every day and we are not above temptation. He said, the blood could not perfect by any animal, but the blood in Christ was perfect.
Amen.
Now, I will never be perfect. And you will never be perfect. I will never be perfect in your sight. It's about our sight, you know. Amen. You will never be perfect in my sight. But let's lay that aside. What about in God's sight? I look at you as a human. I look at you as a brother, but God looks at you through the blood of His Son as a redeemed one.
Amen.
It's not what you have done, it's what Christ did for you.
Amen.
So that's the key point, you know. That's something Elijah wanted to show to this widow woman. It's not what you think about you. You, even if you look at me, I will not be perfect in your sight.
Amen.
You say I'm a God of men. I'm a man of God, but you don't believe it because you're looking with your own side. Yeah. Then at the end she said, now I see that you're man of God. Yeah, you say, he's a prophet, he's dead, but you don't believe because you cannot understand some prophecies. But if God reveals himself to you, then you say, now I see that's a prophet, that's a man of God. So that's something very deep, you know. And many is missing this, you know. They're falling away. It's so pity, you know. But God is looking through the blood, you know. He's looking at you through the blood. Next slide. He said, now, I'm not perfect in your sight. You may not be perfect in my sight, but what's about in God's sight? There is where it lays. If you're born again in the body of Christ, then God looks upon you as a perfect as Christ was himself. Amen. Can you imagine that? We are as perfect as Christ. You're so dear to Christ that God even he looked at you, and when he saw the blood of Christ and when he saw you, he took you as much more precious than the blood of Christ. Can you imagine that? Brother Ben said we would take just 2 drops of the blood of Christ and keep it, you know. People would like to keep. They are keeping, you know, in churches, they're keeping nails or parts of wood, you know. It's like from the cross of Jesus or something like that. It's so precious, you know. And they're praying about it. They think they are special because they're keeping that. What if they would have the blood of Christ, the literally blood of Christ?
Amen.
They would think they are even more important. So churches, they are thinking they are important because of some things they are keeping. But God is looking at you and he says, even the blood of Christ is not so precious like you are.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Amen.
So our mind cannot understand. And it's good that we are not entering the kingdom by understanding, you know.
Right.
We are entering by faith.
Amen.
And by faith I say, yes Lord,
amen.
I believe it like that.
Right.
I am so precious. And may it be a revelation to us. I'll just take a few slides more. He said, there is one more promise I would like to emphasize. I'm sure you know it already and what will happen, what will follow, but we'll just take it. In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, 20th and 21st verse, it's written that we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead.
Amen.
Be reconciled. I put it in how come? Be reconciled. You know, Paul is writing not to unbelievers. He's writing to believers.
Amen.
So how can a believer be reconciled? He should already be, you know. So there is a question mark. And he said, for he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
So it's strange writing, you know. Paul is writing to believers and he said, be reconciled. And he had a ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
And it's strange that believers need to be under ministry of reconciliation. Unbelievers should be under this ministry. Be reconciled with God, you know. But there's something hidden, you know, and it's connected with the blood. Because of that, I took this portion of scripture. And I believe the prophet answered this by his own words in the next two quotes. He says in the Church Age book, he says, "No man knows the things of God save the Spirit of God, and he to whom the Spirit of God reveals them." We need to call on God for revelation more than anything else in the world.
Amen.
So we need revelation. When we read the scripture, we need revelation.
Amen.
We have accepted the Bible. We have accepted the great truths of it. But it is still not real to most people because the revelation by the Spirit is not there.
Amen.
So that was the anointing coming to the widow woman to make it alive. She knew the truths. She accepted the great truths, but it was not still real to her.
Amen.
So the revelation was missing. And the word has not been quickened. The Bible says, and then he's quoting the same quote, that we have become the righteousness of God by our union with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He asked, "Did you get it?" It says that we are the very righteousness of God Himself by being in Christ.
Amen.
So if you're in Him, you are the righteousness of God. He says that because sin, Jesus became sin for us, it does not say He becomes sinful. He became sin for us, that by our union with Him, we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
So when we take in sometimes these words just so lightly, just maybe we think we should quote it to some unbeliever that he should be reconciled, he should come in peace with God, you know, and God has made Jesus sin for us because He knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God, and we don't understand it, the prophet says. And he continues in the next slide. He says, if we accepted the fact that we must, that He literally became sin for us by His substitution for us, then we must also accept the fact that we, by our union with Him, have become the very righteousness of God.
Amen.
So it's easy to accept
Amen.
That He became sin for us.
Amen.
Everybody says that.
Amen.
Even the unbeliever in the denomination, he says,
Amen.
Yes, He became sin for me. But what's with the other part?
Amen.
And he said, if we accept this fact, he said, to reject one is to reject the other.
Amen.
To accept one is to accept the other.
Amen.
And he said that it's not real to the majority. It's just a good verse in the Bible. It's a good verse, you know. You feel good when you read it, you know.
Amen.
You say, oh, I feel so good, you know. I am the righteousness of God. But, you know, then you walk in your life and you made some mistake or something happened, you know. Said, oh my sins are following me, you know. What's happening with your confession? What happened, you know? So if you can see as Abraham's seed, you can look upon Abraham. And he was really the father of our faith, you know. He had a true revelation about the righteousness of God. And when he was walking his life, you know, and He gave Sarah away. He said, that's my sister, you know. And this King Abimelech, he said to him, after all was happening, you know, God came into his dream and he said, oh my, you are as good as a good man. And he said, oh God, are you killing people which are innocent? I have nothing done wrong. I'm in a clear heart. I have done this. And he said, yes, I know that. But this man is a prophet.
Amen.
That's his wife.
Amen.
So he was just correcting him. And when Abimelech came to Abraham, he was speaking with him. But instead, Abimelech, as a righteous man, praying for Abraham. Abraham was praying for Abimelech to have forgiven
Amen.
His sin. How can you understand that?
Amen.
Who was the righteous one? Abimelech or Abraham who lied? So you cannot just take your own understanding about things.
Amen.
As God was dealing with Abraham,
Amen.
He is dealing with you.
Amen.
He could condemn Abraham. Oh, I give you so great promises. And now you're just throwing it away, saying that your wife is your sister and she should receive the promised son. And what have you done with my message? No, he's not speaking like that with Abraham.
Amen.
He was just saying to him, you are the righteous one. You are the righteousness. And if you, he said to Abimelech, if he, Abraham, is not praying for you, you're finished. Your kingdom is finished. No woman will have children anymore. Finished. Can you understand that? That's God thinking about the righteousness of himself. He's thinking about his children like that. And we need to accept it. It's not a license for sin. It's not a license to live worldly life, you know, just worldly living every day, and then you say, oh God, I'm the righteousness, I can do whatever I want. No, it's something more. There's a deep revelation inside.
Amen.
It's like when Brother Branham was speaking about, I think it was in Perfect Faith, about this couple, this sister. She was a good Christian. She married a young Christian man, and he had, in early times, he had trouble with drinking. And then she said to him, look, if you come into temptation again to drink, don't stay away from home. Come home. I will pray with you. I will stand at your side. I know you may be young in faith. Maybe you have trouble. And maybe the temptation will be too big for you. And if you fall, but come home. I will be with you. And he was speaking to his comrades on the job. He said, when somebody loves you like that, how can you sin?
Amen.
How can you have desire to make a sin?
Amen.
When somebody loves you so much?
Amen.
So God, he says to you, I love you so much.
Amen.
Even if you make a mistake,
Amen.
But you are still the righteousness of God.
Amen.
So what will you do? You will think the same. If God loves me so much, how can I even think about sin?
Amen.
It's so far away from me.
Amen.
So it's something, you know, the law could not perfect us. It was just a prison, you know, a prison cell. We are just like any else. But love redeemed us.
Amen.
Love, perfect love, you know.
Amen.
God was manifesting his love to us. And because of this love, you know, if God would give you a free day, he would say, today you have a free day. Today, this day, will be blotted out from my memory, from the books. You can do whatever you want. At the end, when everybody was standing in front of me, this day will be missing. So if you sin the worst at this day, you will be free. Don't worry. Do whatever you want. You have a free day. What will you do this day? The same as every day.
Amen.
You don't need a free day from Christianity.
Amen.
You are free, you know.
Amen.
You are free from sin. You are free from the desire
Amen.
Of sin. You just don't need a free day.
Amen.
Every day is a free day for you.
Amen.
You are free, you know.
Amen.
God has set you free.
Amen.
And that's perfection.
Amen.
Already, you know. Nobody can do it but just God's love, you know.
Amen.
And when you feel it like that, you understand God loves me so much.
Amen.
I love him so much.
Amen.
Even if I make mistakes, I'm perfect. I'm so perfect that he's looking at me and if I don't pray, you know, you took the book of Job, you know, and when you read with your carnal mind, you think, oh, this Job, he was... He made mistakes, he was angry on God, and he was saying some silly things, and even he said, oh, I was speaking without knowing about you, and I heard about you, but now I see you, and I put my hands before my mouth. I was speaking wrong, and you think about these three friends of him. They were speaking nice, you know, about deep things of God, and you would take it by your carnal understanding as that's really the word of God, that's something, you know, that there's nothing wrong, you know. They wanted to help him, to show him, but what were they doing? They were not helping him, you know.
Amen.
And Job, he was a righteous man.
Amen.
And at the end, even he was confessing his wrong before God.
Amen.
God said, now you three ones, you come to this man,
Amen.
And he will pray for you.
Amen.
Because you have not spoken right about me. So who will understand? Who can understand God's thinking about His elect. You will confess your wrongs. You will say about your failures. And God says, you are the man who will pray for this.
Amen.
Maybe they are righteous in their own sight. But in my sight, you are the elected ones.
Amen.
You are the precious one. You are the righteousness of God.
Amen.
So it's just God's mind, you know. You cannot put it in a box. You cannot misuse it. It's something which is full of grace, full of love, full of liberty and freedom to live a victorious life. And that's the thing I wanted to show you. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ perfects the bride. That's the thing. That's real perfection. And you need to be certain about the blood when you see that you're not only forgiven, you're not only just bypassing hell, you are the righteousness of God.
Amen.
You will stand at the end and you will judge even angels.
Amen.
Yeah. Brother Graham said, who has more power in God's sight?
Amen.
An angel, an archangel who could kill maybe 185,000 in the Syrian camp or some other angel? Or you, which are perfect in God's sight,
Amen.
In one prayer, has more power than even an archangel.
Amen.
So where are we today, you know? And where are we with our experience? And what has the blood done for us? When we walk every day, when we even fail, when we try to follow His instructions and try to be what He says we should be, and we see our own life sometimes maybe failing, but what has the blood done for us? Are we certain about the blood? Have we this experience that we are the righteousness of God? Are we using it purposely? Are we dealing with it in our life to apply the token, to change others' lives, to make Jesus Christ presented as a tree of life, you know? And that's the thing I would like for you, as for me, to be certain, you know? The blood has a purpose in God's mind.
Amen.
And I believe that the bride is only able to use the blood
Amen.
As God has intended to be.
Amen.
So that's my prayer, and I hope you could follow some thoughts I presented. It was just something you know already, but I cannot come and reveal some new mysteries. All the mysteries are revealed, so I'm sorry. Don't be angry on me, but that's just the thing. I can just take the message because the lion has already roared, you know. I can just say the same he said, you know. I have nothing new.
Amen.
But I'm so enjoying these truths, you know.
Amen.
I try to apply it in my own life.
Amen.
I'm failing many times, but the Holy Spirit is leading me always back to this.
Amen.
Do you understand this? Do you really certain about the blood? Are you really certain about these things? And then I can see God's grace in my life.
Amen.
What is He doing for me? It's something really I'm so happy about, and I feel that you're the same, you know. So
Amen.
So I'm so glad that I could share these things. Time is running so fast, and I had really enjoyed to be with you. I feel you're really inside. You're much bigger than you're looking. I can pull a lot, you know. I felt like, you know, one brother says one. Does anybody has a dog maybe? You have a dog, somebody? You lead a dog outside to go in a park somewhere just for a walk, yeah? So, yeah, when he sees another dog, what happens? Just quiet. And then he put his tail straight up. And everybody, two dogs, you know, and they start to sniff. Who is that? And then, you know, the atmosphere is electrified, you know.
Amen.
And suddenly, they recognize they are the same kind, you know.
Amen.
And then, they're happy, you know. They started to run around and they have a good time, you know. So I feel like that, you know.
Amen.
I'm so happy, you know, we are the same kind. Yeah. And I had a really good time with you. I enjoyed the presence of the Lord here in your church. And I'm sorry that the master is pulling, you know, you need to go to this side and you're going to this side. But I would like to meet you again and to have a good time again, you know, just like two dogs running around and having a good time in the Lord. Amen? So I'm sorry to use these expressions, but that's the thing how I understand. Nature is a good teacher, you know. You can see God in many things in nature. So may God bless you, and maybe we can stand and pray once more, and Brother Andrew will take the service. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord. You have done so great things to us in our lives, and you showed us the blood, you showed us the anointing, you showed us the purpose of the blood, and you wanted for us to know what the blood can do for us in our lives. That is not just to avoid hell and just to be somebody who is maybe healed or something like that and have a testimony and speak about this and nothing else happening, but we can see every day in our life the great fight this body has to just be under subjection of the scripture, and then we can see the great revelation you have given, that you are our advocate and standing on our side, and you're judging us now, but you know all our wrongs, and you're just on our side. And as the scripture says, if God is for us, who will be against us? Amen. Oh, we are so happy that the judge of the whole world is for us. Yes. What for a happy feeling, what for a releasing we have really in our souls, that we can be really free, and we have peace in our conscience that nothing bad can happen to us. Amen. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for these people. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the pastor. Thank you for the anointing you gave to lead this congregation to such a level, Lord, that they pull the road, that they receive the road, that they enjoy the road, and they worship you and pray and everything. Heavenly places are here, Lord. I'm so thankful to be part of this, and may you bless them, and may you provide for all their needs and help them, this who are sick and who have needs and everything, Lord. You can do even more than we pray, Lord, and we thank you very, very much for things you have done for us. May the whole bride be collected together in heavenly places. May we get the same revelation about these things you have given to the prophet. May this revelation keeps us. May the testimony, the words of our testimony be so powerful. The blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. May we conquer by this. May we have this anointing in our life every day. I pray for that in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Since, let's sing that song we sang yesterday. Since, let's sing Justified. You know, I really do believe, like Brother Jan was saying there, that if the full revelation of justification came to us, we'd go from this place. Yeah. It's just that the devil, he accuses us to God and he accuses God to us. You know, he wants you to think different of God than God really is. And the word comes to show you what God really thinks about you, that he's your advocate, the judge is your advocate. The case is dismissed, the prophet says. There's no more case. There's no more file. Once you've confessed your sins and put them under the blood, there's nothing more to answer to. Who shall lay charge to God's elect, Paul said in the Bible. There's neither power nor principle. But the problem with us, many times denominational thinking, we're thinking, I didn't really pray so much last week. I didn't listen to enough messages. I mean, looking on that basis. And the word wants to come and lift us up to see it the way that God sees it. And once you see it the way that God sees it, that completely changes the situation. And the devil's in a lot of trouble when you start seeing it the way that God sees it. And the devil doesn't want that. And that's why we need the ministration of the word. So let's meditate on the words as we sing this song before we come to a close.
I was sitting alone and wondering about what I'm supposed to do. I can't deny the times I made mistakes. I can't hide from him in you. But I knew that deep within my soul I felt sorry, honest I do. So I just cried and said, forgive me, Lord, forgive me again, will you?
Justified. I'm justified.
You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Justified.
Justified. You have not done it in the first place. You're justified.
Oh, so often I'm discouraged when I count the times I fall.
'Cause he promised I'll be victorious when I know I'm not at all.
But I heard an eagle scream,
its voice quickened my soul. He said, you've not done it in the first place, you're justified.
Hallelujah.
Justified.
Justified.
You have not done it in the first place, you justify.
Justify.
Oh, justify. You have not done it in the first place, you justify.
Oh, he looked at your perfect picture without blame, spot, or wrinkle.
He didn't look at you where you are now.
He looked from eternity.
He said, you're just trapped in that body.
You bypass your theophany.
You have not done it in the first place, you justify.
Hallelujah.
Justify.
Justified.
You have not done it in the first place, you justify.
Oh, justify.
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 You have not done it in the first place, you justify.
Oh, I'm justified.
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 You have not done it in the first place, you justified.
Justified.
Justified. You have not done it in the first place, you justified.
Let's sing that song. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And just to ask a simple question. What came first, the Savior or the sinner? What came first, your sin or was there a solution? God made a solution before you sinned. That's the grace of God. Before the foundation of the world, the Lamb was slain. God looked down and said, it's already finished. Because before God would risk putting you in time, he made sure there was a perfect provision to see you safely home. And like Brother Yan was saying, we just got to use that resource that God has given unto us, the perfection of the blood, the perfection of the sacrifice of Christ, and rest in him, rest in his finished work.
Christ our Redeemer died on the cross, died for the sin, paid all his due. Sprinkle your soul with the blood of the Lamb, and I'll pass. Oh, I will pass over, over you, over you. When I see the blood,
chief of sin,
chiefest of sinners, Jesus will save. Holy as promised, only wash in the fountain. Oh no, open for sin and I'll pass. I will pass over you. Coming, all will be there. Each one will receive it for the good you've done.
Hiding the sins, cleansing
blood, and I will pass. So true, find peace and shelter under the blood. Oh, I would pass over you when I see the blood. When I
sing that song, oh love of God, how rich, how pure. No, it's the love of God that brings us to repentance, friends. It's not his threatenings, it's not the fear of hell, or those things are necessary. But when you realize his love, that brings about the change inside of your life, to realize his love. And God shows his love. What does he do in Serbia? He raises up gifted men, he anoints them, he sends forth his grace to his people to usher them to the throne of grace, to bring them under the blood. You go wherever you are in the world. God so loves his people. He wants them to know of his love. He wants them to know of the power of the blood. And the bleeding word, the blood has spoken to us this morning. What are we going to do with that? Let's put ourselves under the blood. Let's think of his love. Let's come before the Lord. Maybe you've got a guilty conscience today. Maybe there's things hanging on you. Speak to your advocate. Tell him everything about the case. And see how faithful that he will be to deal with that case for you. Don't hold anything back. Just be honest with him. He knows everything about you. But he just wants you to confess those things in the presence of the blood. And then see how his power will come to deliver you from sin and guilt and the penalty of sin. It's very simple, saints. Just do it with all your heart. is greater far,
is greater far
than tongue or pen,
than tongue or pen
can ever tell.
Can ever tell.
It goes beyond.
It goes beyond
the highest star.
For the highest star
and reaches to the lowest hell.
The guilty pay.
The guilty pay.
Bow down with
care.
Bow down with care.
God gave His Son.
He gave His Son
to. Shall pass away and earthly
thrones and kingdoms fall
when men who hear refuse to pray
or refuse to pray
on rocks and
hills
and mountains fall. So sure shall still endure, oh measureless and true,
and so strong,
redeeming grace
to Adam's race,
the saints and
how measureless
and true,
and so, so strong,
it shall
forever
in you,
forevermore in you,
the saints and
angels, the saints and angels.
Could we within,
could we within,
ocean fill,
for the ocean fill,
and were the skies,
and were the skies
of parchment made,
of parchment made,
where every stone,
oh stone
on earth a quail, and every man a scribe by tree,
to write the law,
to write the law,
to write the law,
oh God above,
above,
could
train the ocean
dry,
oh no could,
no could the scroll contain the whole,
contain the whole,
those stretched from sky.
Oh, love of God,
oh, love of God,
oh, love of God,
how rich and pure,
how rich and pure,
how measureless
and
strong,
and so strong,
it shall pour in,
evermore
into,
evermore into,
Let's speak to him, saints, before we go today. You know where you are. God has made a provision for you. It's a perfect provision. It's finished. It's complete. There's nothing you can add to it. There's nothing that you can take away. It's God's provided way. And he sends his bleeding word your way. He sends his spirit to come and speak to your soul. He sends his grace to persuade you to come under the safety of the blood. And all that he wants you to do is to respond. All that he wants you to do is to avail of his grace. Just to abandon yourself. Just to let yourself go to say, Jesus, I cast down my reasonings. I cast down my feelings. I'm coming to the blood today. I'm coming to the fountain opened in the house of David. I'm coming upon this day because I'm needing a cleansing, Lord. Father, my garments are spotted. My garments are stained by sin. I've picked up dirt along the pilgrim journey. And Jesus, I just want to come today that you may wash me clean, that you may clothe me in your righteousness once again. Let's confess our sins to him, friends. Let's speak to him. Let's speak to our advocate, the one who persuades us and pleads with us. Why don't we come before him today? Put your case before him. Speak to him. Come before the throne of grace. Let's all enter into a time of prayer. Let's seek him before we go. Father, we just need to come unto thee, Lord, upon this day, to come, Father, by the way of the blood, to come by the way of your grace, because of the greatness of your love. Heavenly Father, Lord, that has provided a sacrifice, a perfect sacrifice for us. And Father, you send your mercy, you send your grace unto us, Lord, to reveal and to confess it, Lord, just to bring it all before thee, Lord, that every shortcoming, that every regret, Lord Jesus, that every fault and that every failing, Father, to look unto thee, to wait upon thee, to call upon the name and to bring it all before thee, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, upon this day, Lord, even at this time, Lord, as my desire, that your will may be done, Lord Jesus, that your thoughts, that your purpose, Lord, that, Father, your perfect will may be done, that you may glorify the name, Lord, that your great name may be lifted up, Lord Jesus, is our desire, just waiting upon thee, looking unto thee at this time, Lord, in your precious name. If anybody has a need before the Lord, just before we leave this place, if you want to raise your hand up to the Lord sees the desire of your heart. And if you're sincere, and even just the act of putting your hand up to the Lord, I guarantee if you're sincere, the Lord will respond just to that action. He'll start something right there. And if you keep following it through, it's amazing where it'll lead you to. Maybe you're asking for forgiveness. Maybe you're asking, you want to know Jesus personally as your Savior. Maybe you're asking for him to wash you. Maybe you're asking for another chance. Maybe you're asking whatsoever that it would be. And sometimes we don't know the words to say. And you just wanted to raise your hand up to him to say, Lord, you see the desire of my heart. You see the burden. You see my desire before you. And he's going to look down and he's going to look inside of your heart and he's going to look at your motive. He's going to look at your objective. He's going to look through his blood and he's going to do something for you. Father, raising our hands up unto thee upon this day, we do thank you, Lord. Father, that there is blood that speaks on our behalf, even in this age, Lord. Father, the sprinkling of the blood on the mercy seat, Lord, and Father, how glad that we are to be represented in that upon this day. Father, where would we be? Father, we weren't even worthy. No man is worthy even to look upon the book. But Father, there's only one. And Father, many times we weep like John because you wonder how can we attain unto what we're supposed to attain. And Father, how glad we are, Lord, that there's always a voice that comes to us and says, do not weep, John. Because the Lion of the tribe of Judah, he has prevailed and he has overcome. And Father, when we look and we see the bloody Lamb taking the book and opening those seals, and Father, we see our name under there. We see our representation under there. Father, it just gives us a fresh hope once again, Lord. Oh, Father, may you continue to help us is our desire. Father, may you continue to minister us to that place of perfection, even as been preached upon this day, that you may be mature in your sight. That, Lord, that which you've ordained for us, that you may come to a completion, Lord, that that, Father, we may finish the course, Lord, that you may do your will, that, Father, you may be glorified in and through us, each and every one of us in this place. Father, we just want to lay in the presence of the Son. We just want the greenness to be baked out of us, Lord. We don't want to see, Lord, as immature people anymore. We don't want to act as immature people. But, Father, we just want to lay in your presence, Lord, that, Father, you may see it the way that you see it, that you may know as we are known. Lord, that it may be clear to us, that, Father, we may go forth, Lord, just to achieve your purposes, our desire. Father, I pray for every hand that is raised upon this afternoon, Lord. Father, knowing that you're looking down even now, because you are the one, Lord, that caused that reaction in that heart to even desire to put up their hands. Lord, Father, it's your desire. Father, you said it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Father, and if you gave us your Son, Father, how would you hold anything back from us? So, Father, we commit every single hand into your every soul and every life that is beneath that hand into your hands, and pray that you would minister even now. Just reveal yourself. And, Father, as we go from this place, we pray for Brother Jan. We thank you for the time that we've had together. How we pray that your hand would continue to be upon him, Lord. How we pray that you will bless him down there in Serbia. How we pray that you will use him, that you will bless his congregation, that you will bless his family. That, Father, they may be a city on a hill in that place, Lord. That your glory may shine forth, that you may be a light in a dark place. Father, that you may continue to use them, and Father, expand their borders and lead them and guide them, Lord, and add daily such as should be saved, Lord. Give him a blessing even as he goes to Germany to the ministers' meeting. May you bless that meeting, we pray. May it be an encouragement, may it be a strengthening to your people. And Father, bless his family upon this day, we pray. Bless the congregation that is there. And even as we go this evening to Brother Tommy's, Lord, we dedicate all things into thine hands. And we just say, Father, glorify thy name. Bless us as we go. Give us traveling mercies upon this day. Minister grace unto your people, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. I sense it's been a real good time to be with Brother Jan. Just really want to appreciate him. Such a fine brother, such fine fellowship. Keep him in prayer as he preaches for Brother Tom this afternoon. Then on Tuesday, we'll be having a house meeting in Blanche. I just wanted to speak to some people to arrange the venue. We'll let you know on that. So we'll meet you then. And then he's flying out on Wednesday. Goes to Germany. There's a ministers' meeting there on Saturday, Friday and Saturday. And then he gets home on Saturday to his family, his congregation. So let's keep him in prayer as well. Let's dismiss with one song. What you have, Brother George? Let's stand. And may God be with you until we meet again.
God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide I hold you. With his sheep securely fold you. God be with you till we meet again. Till we meet, till we meet.
Some sisters can sing it, but us brothers, we can't sing it there. Sorry about that. Be with you till we meet. His wings securely hide you. Daily manna still provide you. God be with you till we meet. Till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet. Till we meet, till we meet, God. God be with you till we meet again. When life's perils think confound you, put his arms unfailing round you. till we meet, till we meet, till we meet at Jesus' feet, till we meet.